Bio-Friendly Podcast. It's the Bio-Friendly Podcast.
And then our friends are like, no, like then Brayman's like, it's not made of f***ing tissue boxes.
Right out the gate.
Yeah, no, you get started after.
Oh, did we start the show?
Or we're rolling, baby.
You get started after that.
I mean.
And then you don't even have to bleep.
Then you don't have to, I would start
it's
after.
It's kind of shock. I think it's charming that I had to bleep the very first second we started the show.
And then Kevin immediately hears his name. Yeah, and he's like, yeah.
Brayman's like.
I remember that. That's right. No, that was just an example of what I had like a fuzzy recollection of what I'd seen.
Yeah, fuzzy thoughts.
In the middle of 13 other things while he was showing me the space
fuzzy
station.
Thoughts by Noel Carroll.
Fuzzy thoughts.
I like the fact that they have a model of the space station, like a
oh yeah,
practice space station down at NASA is so cool.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Now, one of these days we got to take Clayton down that way and have him tour as well
because
it is.
You guys are gonna take me to the space station.
We're gonna take you to Texas.
What?
And you're gonna get to go to NASA.
I thought you went like
get to go
to Houston.
NASA. Yeah,
Houston. Yes, yes. We love Brayman. He's amazing.
Brayman.
No, and it's just. Like, but then there was that thing where I was trying to talk about how they have like many different layers of shielding in order to stop things from to slow them down.
Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed to having like a super heavy concrete, like sturdy wall.
Right.
And I described it as like almost like foam things, but that's not. And right. He's like, no.
He very sweetly text messaged us and was like, it was sort of there. It was like
you're kind of close, but not at all.
I got what you're saying, but you're wrong. No, and I was. And I think at the time I said, I'm butchering this and I'm sorry, Kevin, because I was butchering. So yes, we were talking about my butchering but not being 100% sure
of how the
modular nuclear reactives. Oh. Hey, yeah.
Just kidding. Hey. No, you're very good with facts.
It's not Rocky.
Yeah, no,
it's just if I don't remember, I'm on a podcast and I have to say something.
Right. Look, man.
I got to commit to this bit.
I have to say something because I got to ask the question. I'm like, I think it's this.
Look.
I think it's this. Sometimes I know and I'm like, it's this.
Yes.
Yeah, but sometimes I don't know, but I have an idea. And then I'm like, well, hell, it's a show. It's entertainment.
It's
so I'm going to give what I think it is.
This is
infotainment.
We're the Daily Show here.
The two retractions, I'm just going to give them. I wasn't going to say them, but here I am. The two retractions. Mm. Okay, one. No, it's not a bunch of foam lining around the damn space station.
Right.
It is metal. It's just that they're using lots of sheets of it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So that it can slowly slow down the impact so that it doesn't like. You're trying to slow down the impact of what it is.
Right.
When it comes to
at least three sheets against that one.
At least three sheets. Yeah. No, it's like a boatload of them.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I'm not going to tell you the exact number of it because I don't know. Kevin does.
There you go.
Right.
Talk to Kevin.
But if you can imagine if you had a whole lot of a whole lot of little sheets of metal in a row, they would one by one slow it down. Boop, 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 boop.
Right.
So that this little tiny piece of like satellite that was blown up by the Chinese doesn't come in and kill all the people in the space station.
Right. That's right.
Because it's all going at thousands of miles an hour.
Right.
Wow.
Okay. But we talked about relativity, so it's not exactly like that. But anyways, I'm not re-litigating this.
No.
But that was that retraction. Okay. So yes, it is not.
We get litigation Tony for that.
Litigation Tony for that, baby.
Yeah. Anyway,
we all know litigation Tony. He's our guy.
He's our guy.
And then the other one is we got more information about modular
small modular nuclear reactors.
Yes,
from
two
our friend
ago.
Kent Spillner.
Kent!
Yes. So that was very kind of him to bring that up. And there's a couple episodes back, so this retraction is a little... Not retraction, correction.
Correction.
We wanted to get the exact estimate of the size of the amount of waste you're getting in a year from that. And my guess at the time, which I didn't want to say, just so everybody knows, was a basketball.
Right.
Right? Mm. I was wrong, but I wasn't horribly wrong.
You were not horribly wrong.
It's a tissue box.
Tissue box.
Right?
That's amazing. That's amazing.
A tissue box is pretty, like, if you think about it, it's not that much.
No.
And the other really great piece of data that he gave, which I loved, was that they have third and fourth generation reactors. So they basically, the idea being that once you've got your nuclear waste, you can now repurpose that nuclear waste to now power something that's more efficient.
Right.
That is able to use that to now make more power. And then they have an even better one. Then you use that waste to make one that is even more power.
So you're literally using its waste to power the next.
Exactly.
Oh, that's
exactly.
So cool.
It's just about, do you have a reactor that can work with it, right? And and when they originally made them, no, you couldn't.
Yeah.
But then over time, you make better reactors, right, that can work with the waste.
That's so cool.
It's really kind of neat, right?
Yeah.
So the idea being that if you can keep using it, you reduce the half-life so that you can... You know, so it's not such a problem to store it.
Yeah.
And so he's saying, shooting it into the sun, it's really heavy, so it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And nobody wants to do anything that's
so
expensive.
He didn't agree with my Superman 4 documentary?
No, no, no. He actually said,
he said it would work.
What you said in the documentary was correct.
Okay.
And that is the first thing to
make
do.
Sure.
That option is number one on the list.
Uh-huh.
Ken was adamant that everybody know that you were right.
Okay. What's number two?
But the problem is you have a shortage of Superman. You have Superman out there,
right?
And so you can't get rid of as much.
There's
as you
only
want.
So many places I can be at once.
Yes,
right. There's only so many places that JP.
We're on a podcast live.
Man,
I am so.
Everybody, guys, I'll cut that part out. I'll cut that part out. Okay, thank you, guys.
I'm so glad you guys reminded me. I got too loose. But if you could make sure to just delete that, so no one knows that I am Superman.
I'm on it. Clark Kent is Superman.
Yes,
it's Clark Kent.
Obviously. Right.
Everybody.
Thank you, guys.
We all
have
the documentary said that. So
there's not Supermen.
So if you can get the half-life down to 50 or 100 years, which is what they can do with these third and fourth generation reactors.
That's freaking amazing.
Then it's not such a big deal.
That's amazing.
You just hide it away in a mountain somewhere.
Because it used to be thousands of years.
A tissue box is not that hard to hide away.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's
exactly.
Very small.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be thousands of years. Yeah. The half-life.
Yes, yes. 10 to 50,000 years.
Mm-hmm. 10 to 50,000 years.
So now it's significantly less, right? By just using it.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
You're using the energy.
Guys, we figured it out.
So it's really cool, and it was a really great piece of information from Kent. So we gotta appreciate him dropping that.
Thank you for that.
So thank you for that.
Yes. And actually, this goes right into our topic.
It does. And we mentioned on the last show that we solved all environmental problems.
Of
so that's just
we did.
Another.
In 250 years, you get it done.
That's another example of the ways that we've already fixed the world, and now we're gonna fix the country.
Okay. Let's do this.
In Cleveland.
Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks.
No, that's President.
Drew
the United States of America.
Drew Carey
gotcha,
show.
Gotcha.
Drew where Carey. It got most famous.
Yeah. Love it. Yep. In Cleveland, mushrooms digest entire houses. How fungi can be used to clean up pollution. So, of course, if you've been with us for 250 years, we have talked about mushrooms. We've talked about fungi.
Ad nauseum.
Ad nauseum. You might even say, I'm sick of mushrooms.
I'm sick. I'm so sick of discussing mushrooms.
Sick of it. Especially when we did our Super Mario episode.
Oh, that was
and,
a good one.
You know, anyway.
Well, especially, Amanita I thought Muscaria. We were talking about, like, you just need a couple of fun guys. Solve everything. We're like, God, we've got three of them.
Wild and fun. No, crazy.
The wood wide crazy web. Things. We did the one where they were talking about mycelium, you know, like products and things like
oh,
that.
We are pro fungus.
We're
pro fungus. I think if we haven't established that by this point,
we are toe fungus.
We are
pro fungus, toe fungus.
Yes.
So, but this is an interesting thing, and this is why we're bringing it on here because I hadn't seen this look of mushrooms yet. This was like one thing that I was like, okay, I don't know if we've tapped into this much. There's been a little bit, but in the struggle to combat pollution and fight climate change, a growing number of scientists are beginning to look at one of nature's oldest biotechnologies, fungi.
Okay.
The city of Cleveland faces an epidemic of abandoned houses, unfortunately.
Man, that is tragic.
I know. Mm-hmm. Crumbling.
We got to fix America.
We
got to
fix America. That's why we're here.
We saved the world. Now we got to fix America.
Now we got to fix America. Crumbling homes number in the thousands.
Ugh.
These ramshackle structures are riddled with toxins like lead and dilapidated to the point of no return. And if tearing down and safely disposing of the waste of one of such homes sounds daunting, imagine thousands of them. So that's the problem. Okay.
Yeah.
There's lead in them. There's asbestos in them. There's all this stuff that is not good for any consumption.
Yeah.
I don't want to. No, I do. I do want to. I want to. We talked last week.
I want to, huh?
We talked last week.
I want to.
I
really, really,
really
want to.
Zig, zig, ah. If you want to be my lover. This happens to us all the time. I'm going to ruin the show.
Okay.
I want to ruin the show by we're talking about America. We're saving America, right?
We're saving America.
Okay, so I'm going to get a little, we don't like to get too terribly political, but I do feel like maybe this is worth it.
Okay.
Because of where we've gone.
If you want to be my lover.
Then I got to be your friend.
Got to be my friend.
And I'll be your friend. I got to get with your friend. I got to get with your
friend. I don't
friend.
Know what's going on with friends? My friend, but something's happening.
You got to get with my friends.
If I want to be your lover, I also get to get with your friends?
It's a weird situation.
You know what? This is a good deal.
Figured out.
This is a good deal.
Wow.
I get to be with all your Spice Girlfriends?
That's a
jeez.
Interesting situation. Now I see why David Beckham was so sprung.
He's like, I'll take it.
Sounds like a good deal.
So we talked last episode a little bit about this like panic for electric vehicles.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all of the money that has been going towards, we've got to make more electric vehicles. We got to have electric vehicle infrastructure. The planet's going to fall apart if we don't have more electric vehicles.
Right. Right.
And as anyone who's been listening to the show for the last 250 years knows,
right.
If we spend all of our money on the way they're currently making electric vehicles, we're actually going to destroy the world.
Yes.
We're not going to help the world at all.
Yeah, you're right.
But they don't know that because they just want to do what's politically, you know, expedient and convenient and can get lots of money into the hands of people who they want to have money.
We right. like Band-Aids and we think they're the answer.
We yeah. like Band-Aids and we love finding people to give money to make Band-Aids.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, to our friends. Got to get with my friends.
The Spice Girls knew.
They knew.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They think all it. Wanted David Beckham.
They do. They do want a David Beckham.
Yeah.
I think... If you allowed the market to sort of figure this out in the car business, if you allowed the market to figure it out, it actually will figure this out in plenty of time, because electric cars are not going to be the difference as to whether or not it's energy production is the problem.
So you're saying this relates to the houses?
I'd say it will. It will. Uh-huh. I'll get there.
Okay. We're back on cars.
No, we are. We're back on cars. Huh. And I'm saying it because it's a waste of money.
Okay.
I'm saying it because we've our government is totally.
Cars are worth some money?
Laser focused.
Yeah.
On spending all of our tax dollars on something worthless.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
And I think that's a problem because you look at the fact that you have thousands of homes that are unlivable and unusable and nobody can be in them, and the people who own them don't want them. So they're literally going to consume them with mushrooms.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. So...
He's a very smart boy. Doesn't know.
Does anyone else notice how many homeless people are everywhere?
Yeah, I have picked up on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you have all of this money you want to spend on electric vehicles, which we don't, but if we're going to spend it anyway, why wouldn't you focus that money instead on jobs programs for people and affordable houses for them to live in, and taking these homes and refurbishing them, remodeling them, or destroying them with mushrooms and rebuilding them, but in an affordable manner that people could actually buy them and not be homeless, and then where they have more jobs.
Yeah,
and that's interesting because I mean, I guess the flip side of that is like, well, you got the climate change and it's going to destroy everybody, so we got to throw all everything into cars.
Yeah, but cars aren't the problem for climate change.
Right, right, right. They're not the largest percentage of
cars are
emissions.
Not the thing. Man.
Apple is.
Yeah, that's the
cars are not the thing.
That
it's
is the crazy thing.
Energy.
It's energy and farming. Food production.
You got to break that. And now here's the thing. I know that we don't. I'm the new guy here. How is energy the problem?
Well, the way we're making it,
we produce so many more carbon emissions from
energy
creating energy.
Yeah.
Than we do from cars, which have so many. Like your gasoline powered car, your average gasoline powered car has. So many things added to it to reduce its emissions impact, to reduce its carbon impact.
Okay.
The fuel that it uses has been refined so far.
Especially here in California.
Yes. Okay. That does not make the kind of impact that it made when you think of fuel in the 1970s. It is not cars that are causing the problem on the mass scale. It is how we produce our energy. It's like, and frankly, it's
via coal, via what?
Well, get out of the United States for a minute, because we all freak out about home, right? What we're doing here. I mean, here there's a huge effort to use less coal. We're using a lot of natural gas here, which has its own problems. We can talk about natural gas problems till we're blue in the face.
Sure.
But natural gas is way cleaner.
Way cleaner than coal.
Way cleaner than coal. And even way cleaner than wood.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. But in other parts of the world... They're still like in China. Look, like they have a big commitment to nuclear in China, which I love, right? But they're not there yet. Mm-hmm. They're still using massive amounts of coal, and they're producing everything. So all of the emissions that used to be here, yes, some of them were producing by we're cleaning up by producing better energy. But I mean, one of the reasons that our CO2 numbers are strikingly low which we did a podcast on that a few weeks back, I think, or a few months back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we were better off than we thought.
How absurdly good that we're doing here. One of the reasons we're doing so absurdly well is because we've exported our emissions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We exported them by having our industry over there.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And we
don't blame us.
And we don't regulate there.
Yeah.
We have no control over
right.
that.
Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
Okay. So this is where, if you really wanted to solve climate change, that's where you would focus, is like, is how do we make it so that, you know, so that energy production is better, is cleaner. And then how do we make that cheap and easy, not just for us, but for everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. For everybody else. And that's where we are failing pretty miserably.
And number two, like after energy, it's still not even yet vehicles. It goes on to agriculture. It's farming.
Yeah.
So we're making so much dadgum food because everybody's eating and eating and eating and eating. We're having to like pack these farms and it's not regenerative at all. Mm-hmm. And so everything about the agriculture is the second worst producer of pollution in the air. So those are the two big baddies. And so after that, then you get to like transportation, but that ropes in trains, big
planes,
ships, automobiles,
all of them. And so you're not just taking in cars. So then you dissect out that and then you're focusing on
and
cars.
Even that you're talking about so much of it's industrial because you're talking about the fact that we ship things back and forth on trucks, but on boats.
Ships,
boats,
planes.
Massive
container ships that are running things back and forth from... You know, well, to make your batteries. I've done this too many times. I've said it, but I'll say it again because I'm a monster.
Yeah.
You're getting your battery ingredients from Australia, from South America,
cobalt,
and from
my lithium.
Africa, right. And you're shipping them all to China.
Yeah.
And then in China, you do your manufacturing, and then you ship everything back to Europe and to into America.
Yeah.
And so think about how much...
Monuments to inefficiency.
I mean, it's... It's tragic.
And this is one of the big things that we try to do, and it is important because in the environmental conversation, so often the corporations make it seem like it's up to the little guy to fix this problem. It's like no. We're gonna do what we can. We're gonna try to live better and do the right thing.
Yeah, and do.
But do it. But this belongs to you.
Yes.
You guys are the ones who are making it impossible because you're creating things that emit, and you're making a system where we have to have everything,
and we rely on that system.
And we rely on that system.
And
so,
once you take that system away, people freak out.
So that's why we get sometimes from commenters and people on our social media, they get a little reactive because they're like, "Well, it's not up to me to fix the world." And I'm like, "I agree with you. It's not. It's the ownership doesn't belong to one dude who lives in Toledo,
right?
You know. But we're trying, and we should do better. We should try to make a difference. But yeah, we need to rise up." Elect the right people, focus local communities, and work on ways that we don't do these things. But it's the people who have the billions of dollars that are freaking doing it anyway.
Right.
Right. And it's also awareness for the individuals, because part of what you do is vote your pocketbook. Like we say all the time, man, the first thing you got to try to do is buy local.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Get stuff that's local, and you will save the planet.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Try to walk places. Try to bike places. It's better for your health. It's better for the environment. It's better for, like, do everything as much as you can where you are.
Yeah.
If you do that, you are really helping the environment.
Yeah. And if you're eating 50 pounds of beef a week, dial it back. Dial it back, guys.
Eat
your beef, but just do it a little bit less, please.
God, and it's even like when you were just saying about agriculture, like all of our veggies, all that kind of stuff. It's all same thing, man.
Same thing, man.
Mm-hmm. Holy smokes.
It's not just meat. It's farming. It's just farming. It's like it's vegetables, too. It's just how we do it.
But it's also monocropping, right?
Monocropping
all the
is a
massive
nightmare.
Thing.
Nightmare. Yeah.
Little local farms.
Yeah.
Again, going back to doing local,
right?
They regulate their own stuff. They're their own little producer for their own little community.
Yeah.
Localization, man.
Yeah, I mean that's the biggest thing you can do to help the environment is that. If there's one thing you can do as an individual, it's try to keep things as local as you can. Try to keep things close. And then that also supports your local businesses. It helps your neighbor, it helps the people around you. It's better for your sociability. It's better for your health.
Yeah.
It's better for the environment. It's better like that's the way to go.
Yeah.
But the tangent is real on this.
This episode was about mushrooms.
Yeah. No, I just...
Start taking mushrooms.
I think that we are just so... We're so misplaced on how we focus our energy and how we focus our finances. And when we've decided that we're willing to go farther into debt to do something, what we decide to do with that money, And then how much of it gets wasted? I could go on forever. We're going to fix America.
We're going to fix America.
But yeah. I think homelessness is...
One ruined show at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Homelessness is a real issue. And yes, I know the argument that if the person is far enough gone or has enough mental disease or is addicted to enough whatever they're addicted to, that they won't want the home and they won't be able to take care of the home and they won't be able to hold the job or whatever. But that's not everybody. Yeah. That's not. There are legitimately a lot of people who are paying rent who should be able to buy a home, who should be able to own a home. And if we're tearing them down with mushrooms, I think something's
really wrong.
Yeah.
And it's getting harder to actually have and hold and own a home in America because everything, all the economy is just so expensive.
Yeah.
Everything is so expensive.
And we don't have any regulation that stops Wall Street from buying them up.
Yeah. Right.
And
I've gotten three different offers on my house.
Yeah.
From big giant corporations.
It's because your house is the perfect house for them to move someone into and have them rent it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so corporate ownership of real estate that's not the idea. They shouldn't be allowed to buy single family homes.
Right.
Single family homes should be for single families.
That's how
your average person beats inflation. Right. That was the point. You buy a house, you beat inflation. That money stays a little bit ahead of inflation, right? And that was the flipping idea. But now, because you got so much foreign investment. Because I mean, people are encouraged. If you buy a house, that counts. You can get citizenship. Like there's ways that it's really bad. The system is not. It doesn't work for people who live here to have the American dream. And this is the complaint. This is why you have the rioting. This is why you have people losing their minds.
Yeah. Right. It's backwards. Okay.
That was a tangent, and it was not really environmental. But it reminded me. I think when we talk about houses being eaten by mushrooms, it just pisses me off.
Well, I don't know what the purpose behind this other is. I'll quote Chris Maurer, founder of Cleveland-based architect firm Red House Studio.
Cool.
If you're not familiar with Red House Studio, it's that place over yonder where my baby stays.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Just in case you didn't know about the Red House.
I haven't been home to see my baby in 99 and one half
days.
Thank
you. Thank you so much. So you are familiar with the Red House up here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh, I
good.
Love me some
it's
Jimmy.
Where my baby stays. Okay, so Chris Maurer says, all of the material from demolition, the studs, the floors.
A little bit of science, a little bit of environment, a little bit of pop culture.
A little
pop
culture. Bit of Jimi Hendrix. What can I say?
All the material from the demolition, the studs, the floors, the cellulosic mass, the primary structural component of plants, and even things like ceiling tiles and asphalt material like roof shingles can be mixed into substrate and then become good for growing fungus. So through his firm, he's been advocating for the use of substrate to address Cleveland's housing crisis, which also address health crisis for the city's inhabitants. So is this driven a lot by health problems because of the toxins and products in the house, and so that's their
the stuff that was no, all no, deemed I, in the 40s and the 30s and the 20s that like it's okay, lead is fine, and so is asbestos.
No, we got smarter, we got better. No, I don't want my rant to take away from a good idea.
I get you, if you've got
homes that are causing health
issues.
Problems for everyone else, you do need to get rid of them.
The other cool thing about this, actually, which I thought was brilliant, was okay. So the mushrooms basically help break the houses down, all the bad stuff, right? They get into it like a substrate. Mm-hmm. Once that's done, they take that same stuff and
they use it to rebuild
bricks.
Wow, cool.
Yes. So it says substrate is any material that mycelium, the thready vegetative part of fungi, uses for nourishment. Mm. In other words, fungi can eat the noxious waste from an abandoned home. Heavy metals and other toxins are extracted and captured in the mushrooms that grow, while the substrate leftovers, including the mycelium, are compacted and heated to create clean bricks for new construction.
Nice.
So basically, they're called mycoblocks, and they're basically they have the consistency akin to a hardwood. And depending on the specifics of the manufacturing process, that have been shown to be significantly stronger than concrete.
Do they have perfect little round interlocking holes?
Or raised
circles on top?
Lego.
Absolutely.
And so they could be stacked.
And
then
with an M, they're Mego.
Mego.
Mego blocks.
Got it.
Well
Thank
played,
you,
Givens.
So
well played.
When you go to Cleveland, you say, "I'd like a house made of Mego."
Mego. But it's pretty cool, actually. It's
very
not,
cool.
Not a bad idea.
I think you're making a really interesting point, which is it's what we faced so many times on this show, which is there are companies and energy being poured into these ideas, but why there's so many other places that we could be investing in. And
yeah,
that's one of your biggest concerns. And it always has been, yeah, especially when it comes to fixing this country.
Yes. Which is not what the podcast is about. Right? We shook on it. No, I think we just we prioritize based upon the wrong things. That's all. I do. I think that the priorities get messed up, and they usually come down to who wants money and how do I keep my job?
Right.
That's pretty much how politicians go.
Yeah.
Like, it's all how do I keep my job? Because the money is like, if I give the money to the right person, I get some of that back so I can get reelected, so I can keep my job.
Yeah.
So, you know, the number one thing to do in politics is to get rid of the ability to keep your job.
Right.
You should do your job and leave.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, humankind is so fascinating because we are the only, as far as we know, the only animal that is capable of imagination.
Yeah.
Right. And creation in that front. Right. Yep. So if we take all of the humans and all of our imaginations and we focus it into the actual, what is the actual problem?
Mm-hmm.
We could solve freaking anything.
Yeah.
But it is the job of specific lobbyists or politicians or whatever to drill into one little niche thing. Guys, the answer is EVs. Mm-hmm. We need to put all of our imagination, all of our thinking into that.
Right.
But that's misguided.
Right.
Right? So it's, could you imagine if we could actually all get on the freaking same page and go,
Yeah.
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 Is that what this podcast is about?
So,
I think it's the social sustainability part of it, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. So there's a quote here from Joanne Rodriguez. She runs a company called MycoCycle.
I love Joanne.
MycoCycle?
So mycelium.
Joanne's the best.
Her quote says, effectively, what we're doing is diverting tonnage from landfill.
Yeah.
She's the chief executive of a similar organization, which works to recycle construction waste for corporate clients. Because this is her data, 11% of the world's carbon comes from materials in the built environment. And by 2027, just from MycoCycle's waste diversion, Rodriguez anticipates carbon reductions of close to 160,000 metric tons.
That's fantastic.
So you could send this stuff into landfills and have it just eat it up?
Yeah. So it's they're diverting.
Amazing.
I think what she's saying is that by doing this, instead of throwing it into a landfill,
it won't go into landfill.
You're reusing the.
Got it. That's correct. Yeah. You're reusing the material.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because what you want to do is you want to hope that these companies that are using mycelium are driven for transition, right? That it's just to help figure out what we got to do with things that were being thrown into landfills or that things could be toxic, but that they're not going to pour hundreds of millions and billions of dollars into them. This is the new way. We just tear down homes and
On the Noel Carroll side of things, like the one issue with this idea about mycelium breaking everything down is... you know how humans, we go like, this is the answer. And then we go full force and we go, oh crap. There was problems with that.
Right.
Is that mycelium could actually get out and get into our forests and things like that and take over, because mycelium and specific mushrooms are very competitive.
Yeah.
They're weeds.
And they literally go and it could throw off the balance of nature. I watched The Last of Us.
I know how that went. I brought that up on a podcast before you were here. When you talk about mushrooms, you can't mess around.
Can't mess around with that stuff.
It'll take over your brain if you're not careful.
Yeah.
They take over some brains of some insects and animals and they live there. And
it's all there,
zombies.
Man.
Zombies.
Zombie time, baby. Yeah. Zombie time.
Dead. So that's mycelium's consuming houses to get rid of toxic homes if need be, but...
I grew up in a toxic home, man. And mushrooms really helped me.
This is advice to you kids out there in toxic environments. Just throw mushrooms at those people. Throw mushrooms at them.
Here's some shiitake for you.
Right?
Eat this. It'll make me feel better.
Toxic.
Oh, so toxic.
Well, is there any of that?
That's all I got.
That's a beautiful episode.
Yeah,
look
at that.
Well, it's tangible, but it was good stuff.
It was good stuff.
Yeah.
It was good stuff. And what's good about it is I have no idea, like, what, because we had to stop and start like three times. I don't even know how long we went for because I got lost.
It was like a half hour episode.
Come on, please.
Juan Carlos, will you just cut me some slack? This was a second recording.
Yeah.
People are traveling again.
Listen. You be beautiful as you always are. Yes.
Yes. Beautiful man. Beautiful
so
man.
Thank you for once again supporting our show. We love you so much. We appreciate you. This has been the 250-year-long strong podcast. And we shall continue on. So you cannot stop us until we save this country.
That's right.
We already did the planet.
You couldn't stop us while we were saving the environment.
No.
And then we did it.
We did it.
And people said you can't do it, but we did.
It's your turn, America.
Yep. So we have been your beacon of light in a gloomy environment.
The dumbest, smartest podcast in existence.
When you see an episode, be excited because we be busy up here. That's so true.
Bring in the science of funk.
I love that one. And you heard it here second. That's my favorite one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. See you later.
It's the Bio-Friendly Podcast. It's the Bio-Friendly Podcast.